Think we're on. A little bit sure. I've just been told that Sister Mona Sutherland passed away to be with the Lord on Thursday. I didn't really know her personally, but I'm sure that there's many here that do. And I was just thinking, we all have to go. And just as a young person, I often think, Lord, how long have you allotted me? Not necessarily 90 years or anything like that, or even a week. We just don't know. But we just look beyond this curtain of time. And that's our goal and our calling. Sorry, this thing's been quite annoying. So we'll just open in prayer and just remember her family this morning. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, the one that knoweth all hearts, Lord, and every man, Lord, all our thoughts, Lord, our frustrations, Lord, our confusion, Lord. Lord Jesus, I believe you know it all, Lord, and Lord, you are touched by the feeling of our infirmities, Lord, and Lord, even the pain, Lord, of this life, Lord, losing a loved one, Lord, or all these things, Lord, you understand, Lord, and we just commit Sister Mona Sutherland's family into your hands this morning, Lord, for comfort, Lord, and that they might be drawn closer, Lord, in this situation, Lord, of losing her, Lord, and Lord, we just commit each one this morning into your hand, Lord, we just pray that by your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, you would meet with us, Lord, and take control of each life, Lord, and each heart this morning, Lord, and take every thought, Lord, and just, Lord, set our thoughts upon you this morning and just commit it all into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we just sing number 41? Noah Hath Drifted.
Noah had drifted.
I'm not afraid.
Is Paul and Pauline away, are they? Not sure. That's right. Lord bless the Hughes. I heard they're supposed to be watching and listening this morning. So, hope you feel very welcome. Let's sing number 87, When the Roller's Caught Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breath will arise fair. When the saints of earth shall gather on the earth, and the roller's caught up yonder, I'll be there. And the roller's caught up yonder, when the roller's caught up yonder, and the
You can read the song, you can sing the songs, but when you stop and think about the words, it's like when we do pass on, not maybe, when we do. Let's just sing that chorus again.
When the roll is called a gun.
Sing number 160, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Time is filled with swift transition.
If there's one thing I've learned so far about this life, it's very disappointing. And I believe that our Lord's done that so that we'll seek that greater, and we know that there's an eternal home for us. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Let's sing number 170, Where Could I Go? Sing number 195, Behold What Manner of Man Is This. We'll just sing number 200, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand, and then I'll ask if Shirley and Merle would bring the item this morning. 200, sorry. On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Sister Sheil and Sister Mary.
what great joy and excitement that awaits us. Then we shall leave this troubled world behind. He said he'd come again to catch his bride away.
What a promise. Is there communion this afternoon, is there?
Yes.
Communion service this afternoon. And Tuesday, 7 o'clock prayer meeting, just as a reminder. I'm just going to ask if Brother Lee would bring the prayer request. There's no new ones at this stage, but we'll just remember Brother Howard and Brother Lee as they go away to Malaysia and Auckland, Brother Howard next week. But if there was any others this morning from the congregation,
unspoken.
One for Brother Peter, unspoken. Any other unspoken? The Lord knows all things. Think about the name.
Yes, I thought there was going to be a convention on here this morning when you see all the cars out there. And I got to the bottom of it, they got the wrong baptismal. It should be in this one under here. But they're in the water over there. How much they've missed, I thought. How much they have missed. I wondered when they came up. I don't know them from Bar of Soap, but did they ever consider the going past the church that could accept them for who they are and have a Lord that loves them? But they don't get the message, do they, very often? So what we've got to do is got to press on and do what we can to remember them in prayer. Now, we heard what the prayer requests were. I didn't write them down, and so, but the Lord knows, and we hold it before him and very grateful for what he does for us. Shall we pray? Precious Lord and Heavenly Father, you are our Saviour. You are our Redeemer. You are our encouragement. You are our love. Lord, it's not just words. It comes from our heart. And you know whether we're genuine in our respect of you or whether we're just saying it. And Lord, we're so grateful that no matter time or day or night or old or young, you will receive what we have to say to you. You actually take the time to listen in. Even there are thousands of people around the world, even those that may be listening at this time, will have a request in their heart. God knows about the every detail of what's been asked or mentioned or brought before him. Lord, there's one thing we need to know, that you are God, the one and only. There is no other gods. There's a lot of mistakes made, but not with God, God himself. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God who we go through, is what we need to do. We acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We know, Lord, that you went to the cross of Calvary because you love me.
Yes.
And we are very, very fortunate people. Lord, we just pray for the people, as mentioned before, like the family of Mona Sutherland. She used to worship here from time to time over the years. I believe that she loves you in her heart, and she's gone on to be with you. This time we just pray for her family. We don't know them, or I don't know them, but may the Lord bless them at this time and encourage them to come and follow in her footsteps on the things of God. And Lord, we just pray for the meetings next week. When Brother Howard goes to Auckland, I think it's with the Niuean people or whichever folks that they meet, may the Lord bless them. And also, as the time approaches in 16th of August, Lord, for Howard and I as we go to Malaysia to meet the people that we've met before and ask that you will bless them at the meetings that are held there. May they bring friends that don't yet know God. May they come and be blessed because they've taken the time to hear what the gospel is saying that affects them. We love you, Lord, and we just uplift your name from all who love you. They are our brothers and sisters. Bless the people on the internet, people who are watching on the screen, Lord, is right now wherever they are. We love them and God loves them and they love us. And the time is coming where we'll never part.
Hallelujah.
We're so very grateful for that, Lord, and it will be soon. It has to be soon. How much more before the coming of the Lord? Just bless us, Lord, for the rest of this service and the one this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. We'll just sing that one more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. Number 217, It Is No Secret.
Someone take me back.
Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise.
I'm on, Leah. Yeah, the Lord is good. Who believes the Lord is good? God bless you. What's your name? It's all age. It's all age related. Sharon. Yes, God bless you. We just thank the Lord for all that he's doing for us. You know he's doing a lot for you? You know how I know he's doing a lot for you? Because you're alive this morning.
Amen.
He takes your hand off you, your history. End of it. But you know the Lord Jesus knows what you're going through. There's nothing God doesn't know what you're going through. He is a high priest which is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the stresses. He knows the sicknesses. He knows the pressure you're under. And God cares for you. And you know, brothers and sisters, God likes you to be well. Did you know that? He actually loves for you to be well. And you know what Jesus said? He said, know not you that your Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows that you need health. Absolutely. He's not way out in the heavens somewhere and not thinking about it. He knows everything about you this morning. When you got up this morning, all during the night, he knows what's wrong with you. He knows what you need to be encouraged by. So it's really wonderful, as Brother Tim said last week, who remembers what he said? David encouraged himself in the Lord. When he was down, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Didn't just encourage himself, in the Lord. We can be encouraged. And so I just thank the Lord that he knows everything we go through. And I was going through a lot of trials last week and yesterday. You know what I did? I started laughing, Lee. I started giggling. I thought I saw the funny side to it. What does Satan think he's trying to do? All I can say, we're in for a blessing. We are in for a blessing, and the enemy doesn't want it to happen. It's going to. Because God is a king and he has all things according to his plan and purpose. Even you people out there on the internet, God knows everything about you. You know, just the other day we had the service, then we looked it up. Do you know we had 44 people came to the service after the meeting and listened in and viewed the service. Not counting the ones that were listening on live, because there's people listening on live, I know they are, in Florida and other places around Australia that are listening right now. God bless you all. We appreciate you. We're looking forward to being together. Never depart no more. Who believes this? Hey, you know, brother, sister, the pressure's on, but it's time to get out of here. God allows the pressure to come to draw you closer to God. Never be discouraged and wearisome when you're tried and tested, because God cares for you. Praise the Lord. I better start preaching otherwise. But I just feel encouraged in the Lord, because it's him that keeps us. And he is the one that looks after us. He's so wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. This little faithful organ will be played here for the last time next week. End. It's going for a journey. And actually going to Hamilton. And we're getting a brand new Hammond organ coming in from Germany, which God has wonderfully provided. And the sound is, put it in a modern term, a magic sound. Really will. And you can come up and say, oh, Brother Howe, that's nothing. You see, new Leslie speaker and everything. This is very old. They're all getting old, the Hammonds. They're called the classics, but the new one's coming, and I believe it'll be a great blessing to the service. I don't just hear nice music. If it helps the Holy Spirit to start moving in your heart, you can just hear the music, tears start running down your cheeks. If you love the Lord, it will affect you. It will. So just pray that God will bless it and will come here safely. And this morning, I want to speak about the temple of God. This is an amazing subject. Amazing subject. And way too big for me to get every little aspect of it. There's lots to this. But I'm just going to make it really simple for everyone to understand. Who likes simple services? We go good together because I'm simple too. I just want to be in love with the Lord and commune with Him. So I want to turn our Bibles, if we'd like to stand for two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or could I just testify something, one of my trials? Last night, I lost all the songs of the church. Just vanished. I was fiddling around with my cell phone, deleting stuff, and I deleted too many. And wiped 3,000 songs went down the tubes. And I started to sweat. So I rang up my son Tom, who's the programmer. He's done a wonderful job on this. And he said, "Oh no, we're going to have to do this. We're going to reinstall. We're going to have to." Anyway, I managed to find an old one back in March, which I think wasn't too much missing on it with the alterations. Then last night, I found the latest one, which I'm going to get Tom to do next week. But I just thank God. I said, "Lord Jesus, I don't know how to fix this. I do not know how to fix it." And Tom was saying, "Oh, we'll have to do this, we'll have to do that." And he said, "Oh no, you've already got that program. You're already up on Dropbox. All the songs are up on the cloud." And he said, "I think we can do this very simple. Just shift that over to there." We did it and everything goes. All my computers, everything's matching. All the projector programs all going on all my machines. Let's say praise the Lord. Take it from me, brother and sister, that could have been a major problem. Out come the books, all falling to pieces, not enough. And everyone looking like this. But I thank the Lord. Isn't he wonderful, Tim? And we're taking this program with us to Malaysia at the convention, and Penang, and Singapore. We're going to use it there too. Now, sorry, I just had to drop that testimony because it was a great blessing to me. I said, "Gene, I feel so much better now. It's just so happy." 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 6, verse 19. What? Question mark. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" That is a huge statement, Sister Diane. Powerful. "Know you not that your body, every one of you, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" Wow. You don't run the show. You don't even belong to yourself. God's got you. "For ye are bought with a price," and a very expensive price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body," "and in your spirit, which are God's." There's so much I could say on all this, but I'm not going to say too much. I'll try not to. I'll keep it really simple. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We just pray you'll bless every brother and sister here, Lord, and those joining with us. Lord, up at Tokomaro Bay, over in Florida, Lord, Australia, America, Canada, where I know these brethren listen, Lord, because they've told me so. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless us all as we come around your precious word. Lord, may you come by your Holy Spirit here and there and touch every heart, and may we draw from the fountain. Lord, you said the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Lord, your word has life in it. Lord, we love thy word. We pray, Lord, that faith will arise in our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. May you bless the hearers, bless the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I saw this quite some time ago that really stuck out to me. my little broken, humble little body, and you know, we all feel we're just nothing. And we are. But you know, God's claimed you as his temple. And I want to speak about the temples. People say, oh, there's more than these, and I'm going to say, but and there are, and it's all the same thing. It's all about God. But there's actually, God has been identified in three temples. Three temples he's been identified in. The first one was the Old Testament temple with Israel. Right back to the temple in the wilderness, which we'll speak about. The second one, the second temple, I wonder if you know what it is, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's temple. And the third one, the third temple of God, is the Holy Ghost-filled believer. We just read in our first reading. Now, the temple is where God dwells. The first temple, or tabernacle, as it was called then, was given to Moses in the wilderness. And he was up on the mount, and God gave him the specifications of the temple. And it was patterned after the things that were in heaven. It was a tabernacle in the wilderness, which was actually a tent. Did you know that? It was actually a tent. And the reason it was a tent was because it had to be moved around. You couldn't build a big concrete temple like Solomon did in the wilderness, then get up in 2 or 3 months and pull it all down and carry all the bricks and shift again. No. They had a tent. And I was in America a few years ago, and I actually had the privilege of going to an exact replica of the wilderness tabernacle, or temple as later called. And I was shocked because it was small. Now, the outer court was large, and many hundreds and thousands of people go into the outer court where they did a lot of the sacrifices. And inside the second portion of it, which was in the middle, I was going to put it up on the screen, just ran out of time, but I don't want to major on it. I don't want to make a big thing about this, but in that was the what they called the inner court, the second room. The court, the temple had three rooms, to put make it simple. And the Bible calls them courts. So the outer court was where everyone gathered and the animal sacrifices took place. And my dad used to say it was a major task for the sacrifices of the animals they had, which is our freezing works, which no longer exists, would have a terrible job trying to process that. There's thousands and thousands of animals and cattle and sheep. That's all happened out there, and they had drains, and the blood was running out. Major undertaking. That's what happened out there. The second room was the inner court. So they went through into another port, and through a curtain into the inner court. And there was things in there, the show, the candlesticks and other things like that, but I don't want to major on their furniture so much. The third room was called the Holiest of Holies. And without going into a lot of detail, the third court, the Holiest of Holies, was separated by a very heavy curtain. Higher than this ceiling, down to the floor. It was thick, and it wasn't made out of cotton. Who knows what it's made out of? Badger skins. You know what a badger is? Those nasty little things, you don't want to get too upset. They're an animal. They've got them in America. And that they got those skins, sewed them together, and the curtain was made out of badger skins. Now, I want you to notice something about the temples, that they all had skin. Yeah. The one in the wilderness had skin. The one that was built later by Solomon had skin curtains. Jesus Christ had skin, and so do you. Now just remember that. Keep it simple. And the curtain, these badger skins were, it was very important that nobody went behind that curtain into the inner court. If you walked into that curtain, just any time you wanted to, you died. Serious. God will take your life. Nobody went in there except the high priest once a year, and that was through the shedding of blood of the sacrifice. He sprinkled it over the people, and he went in there holding the bowl of blood, trembling. I wonder if I'll be accepted or not. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the Bible says, work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. When they went behind that curtain, that badger skin curtain, the high priest, no one else, just him, once a year, he went in there trembling, wondering if God would accept the sacrifice. If God accepted it, he came out again alive. So we see it was a very important thing. The reason being why it was serious to go behind that curtain was because, is everyone listening? You people out there? God lived in there. A holy God lived behind that curtain, and no unholy person could go in there. Unholiness and holiness don't go together. You cannot walk into God's presence without being cleansed. And the only way that they could be cleansed was by the shedding of an innocent blood of an animal. And they went in there with that bowl in there. And they, as I said, they went in there trembling. It wasn't a joke. The people waited trembling too. They were trembling because it was shed for the sins of the people. You know, brothers and sisters, that's what we've got to take God seriously today. There's too much looseness. There's too much, blasé thing. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. He's my Savior. Listen, you've got to go in trembling and with reverence and godly fear that God will accept you under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Going to be many on that day who are going to be very disappointed because they played around. And so God was in there. Being a holy God, no unholy person could venture in there without the blood of an innocent sacrifice. This is the third room called the Holiest of Holies. And in there dwelt the presence of Almighty God. Boy, I tell you what, I would have given anything to be around it. I reckon I would have been outside somewhere where the pegs were, laying down there saying, Lord, I know you're in there. I love you. I mean it with all my heart. It's like when the pillar of fire came in the wilderness. You know what? Where I would have had my tent, Brother Lee, wrecked it underneath that pillar of fire. Absolutely. Because today we know him. We respect him. The children of Israel are under fear and trembling of a holy God. And they didn't do it with any the same sort of feeling. They were just wanted to obey. It was under the law. But we're under grace. And we love him. Amen. How many love him? Say amen. Amen. He's so wonderful. And so we don't come, we come fear and trembling, yes, that we will displease him. But we have a confidence in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so we see this. There's something very important. That God was in there. In this third room. This third court, the Holiest of Holies. Now, it contains some interesting furniture in this room. I want to mention it because it's very important. Because this affects your life. It demonstrates to you the power of being in this room. You'll get to see that you can be in there. You have to be in there. What they had in there, one thing they had there, we know was the Ark of the Covenant. And it had the cherubims over it. You've seen photographs of it. All plated in gold. Maybe in gold, I'm not sure. But anyway, it was gold on it. And they lent the Aaron's rod. Who knows who Aaron was? He was a priest. He was a priest in the wilderness. And he had a rod, and that rod was made out of an olive stick. No, it wasn't. It was an almond. It was actually an almond rod. It's dried out, and if you hit it on a rock, go bong. It was that dry. It was dead. But he used that as a walking stick. That was Aaron's rod. And they had a little dispute who should be the one that God had chosen. And Moses said, give me some of these rods. He took Aaron's rod and some of the other priests and others, and they put it in there. Who knows what happened to that dry, dead stick? You know what happened? It budded, it blossomed, and it bore forth almonds, not in season, overnight. When you get in the presence of God, something's going to change you. You cannot be in the presence of God and not have something happen to you. There was something else in there too. They had a bowl of manna that used to come down every day in the morning. They'd get the manna would come down on the ground. They'd go and collect the manna. And the children of Israel would go and get the manna. They could cook it. They could eat it as it was. They could do lots of things with it. But there's one thing they could not do is keep it till the next day. If they keep that manna until the next day that they'd collected the day before, when they came out to see it was crawling with worms. It went bad. The manna went bad. Now they got, God said through Moses, collect some of this manna. They put it into a bowl and they took it. The high priest took it in there and placed it in the presence of Almighty God. That manna that would only last one day lasted in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the holiest of holies for hundreds of years and never went bad. Now this is very important for you and for me, because we get in there, it's going to have an effect on you too. And brothers and sisters, every high priest from then on that came up through the years went into behind the curtain and partook of that same manna that they collected maybe hundreds of years ago. It's perfect because it's remaining in the presence of God. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. You'll never stand without it. And so we see it's a very interesting thing. And when it brought forth almonds, you know, it was just so wonderful. It budded, blossomed, brought forth almonds. You know, when you get into the presence of God, you know what's going to happen to you, Brother Brian? It's going to bring forth fruit in your life. You're going to actually bring forth fruit. That's what it does. You can't bring forth fruit out of yourself. You've got to be behind the curtain. You've got to get into the holiest of holies. You'll never come to church and expect to bear fruit. You've got to get into the presence of God and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah, somebody. Who believes this? Amen. Amen. You see, it's not a church thing. It's all about God thing. It's what God does. And so we see this is what happened. Speaks of the resurrection power. Hallelujah. Also, the children of Israel, when they saw that, they knew that there's something very real behind that curtain. As a type, that's why we must enter into the holiest of holies to live. Otherwise, you're going to go bad. You'll go bad. You've got to get into the holiest of holies. And how do we enter? Not by bulls and goats' blood, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Makes us clean, holy, by a new and living way. Now watch the scriptures and you'll know what I'm saying is the absolute truth. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, that's to the believers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Does anyone know? I'd love you to talk, but I know you can't really. But why would it say boldness to enter in. Because they weren't bold before. I said they went in shaking, great fear, whether they'd be accepted or not. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter in with boldness into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. This is something completely new, which he hath consecrated for us. Now, what do we talk about the skin, the veil? Through the veil. Now, this is a wonderful type. It wasn't badger skin, but it was his flesh. Skin. God in behind the skin of Jesus. In the Old Testament, it was God behind badger skins. That's why I said to watch the skins, because it's very important. And it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, no more worrying about the things you used to do, and our bodies washed with pure water. Brothers and sisters, who loves the blood of Christ? Amen. This is what happened. We go with our hearts, we're drawing near with full assurance of faith. We're not going, oh, I wonder if God will accept me, or wonder if Jesus will accept me. He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This should make us shout and rejoice. You're allowed to do it in this church. We praise him for it. And once we get in there, into this behind the veil of Christ, once we go into Christ behind his veil of his skin, we get into the holiest of holies. Just like the manna and Aaron's rod, we cannot die. That's very important. I want to know I can get into some place where I'm not going to die. We're crossing over into that. Hallelujah. Let's say praise God.
Praise God.
So the second temple was Jesus Christ. We've touched on that a little now. Now how do we know this? Turn to John chapter 2 verse 19. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. Here's the temple. And in 3 days I'll raise it up. Now the Jews were just way off track. Then said the Jews, 46 years this temple was in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? He wasn't talking about the block temple, like the one in the wilderness, or the tent. He spake of the temple of his body. So Christ's body was a temple. And what was in the temple? The presence of God. He was the fullness of the Godhead embodied. God was dwelling in Christ. God in Christ redeeming the world unto himself. Who loves him? Yeah. I just think that's so wonderful. So this is a wonderful resurrection of raising his body. And it's a far-reaching effect that when he said, I'll raise it up in 3 days, he did. Jesus rose from the dead in 3 days. Now, all you have to do is get inside that body by faith through the blood of Christ, abiding in him, and you're going to rise too. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Who believes this is great? So precious. He says here, I just wanted to point something out here too. The far-reaching effect is going to affect you, this resurrection, which is already taking place. It will also raise our bodies through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And this is so wonderful because the first temple, is everyone listening? Say amen.
Amen.
Just one moment. The first temple, as we said before, it was death to go in there. You're struck dead if you went behind there. I'm glad you're all listening. This temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's death to stay out. The first one was death to enter in behind the veil of badger skins into the holiest without the blood of animals. With Jesus Christ, if you stay out, you die. That's why it's so important to get into him. Hallelujah. I want to be in him. When we are in Christ Jesus, we by faith die and rise with him. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Remember this, Sister Bubs? When you were baptized, this is a type. You were baptized into his death. We're talking about the second temple of Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah! For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I just think that is so wonderful. Just so powerful. You want to rise? Get into Christ. You've got to mean it. You've got to be sincere. Don't play around on the outside. You'll be left behind. And so it says, they went in behind the priest. He went behind the skins trembling in the first temple with animal's blood. Now by a new and living way, as it said, a new and living way. That's why it's called the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, that was the old way. This is a new way. This is a New Testament under Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we need to enter behind the veil of skin into the holy presence of our Lord. Yes, his flesh, being the veil, was broken for you and I. And the blood came forth when his flesh was broken. The redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus had to be broken. His side had to be pierced. And the blood had to come forth. For he was the second sacrifice. The only sacrifice. Let's read the scripture again, Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, not fearful, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You can't come in by being a good person, a good Christian, a faithful person. Forget it. You come in with boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, as we said, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, not badger skins. And having a high priest over the house of God, that's our Lord, let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know, brother and sister, when you truly come under the blood of Jesus, your mind is cleared from an evil conscience. There's now no more condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. He's wonderful. We should be praising him day and night. And our bodies washed with pure water. See the wonderful type of the old tabernacle. By going through this veil, we enter into the holy presence of God by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Once we enter behind the veil, we cannot go bad. You won't get worms in you. In other words, you won't go chasing after the world again. You're a new creature. We are safe and secure, sealed and there by his Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 we read, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're not going to go bad. You're going to be sealed and kept until Jesus comes. Hallelujah! Isn't this good? Just say praise the Lord. Oh, I love it. So wonderful. We're safe and secure under the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, dwelling in the inner court, the holiest of holies. The manna never went bad in there, and neither do we go bad in there either once we're in there. We also blossom, bring forth fruit, as we said before, to the glory of God. You don't go in the presence of God and breathe thorns. You breathe the sweetness of Christ in your nature. It's there because you're in his presence and you're communing with him. You've gone in behind the veil. Now we come to the third type. The final temple of God. This final temple is you and I. As we said in our first reading, it declares it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body... See, it's all the bodies. They're all behind skin. The first one was badger skins. The second one was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the temple he raised in 3 days. That was behind skin. And this one is... The third one is your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. God paid for you. He paid a huge price for you. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise the name of the Lord. God no longer dwells in Solomon's temple made with hands. No, he doesn't. He is only interested in dwelling in one temple today. And that is the body of his people. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This indeed is a great privilege to be a part of this glorious temple. You know, brothers and sisters, you can't learn it, you experience it. You know you belong to him. You know you're a child of God. You know that you are his temple. God's not interested in these other temples anymore. You know, God's not even interested in the sacrifices anymore. A stink unto his nostrils, the Bible says. So everything's changed. We've got a new temple through Christ. Let's turn to Acts 17:24. God had made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. When they made the temple in Jerusalem, it was block upon block, Solomon and them. And even the temple in the wilderness, the tents, the big posts, huge posts that held that tent. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't dwell in anything made with hands. Who believes it? We just read it. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands. In Israel, he was not in the remains of the temple, nor in the tombs of the prophet. You know why? I went there and had a look. I went there and I thought, well, I don't feel God in here. You know, people are holding onto the wall, onto the wailing wall, touching it. God's not in blocks. God's in your heart. Amen. And people got little notes and requests, and I'm not criticizing if they want to do that, fine. They put it between the cracks of the blocks of the temple, of the wailing wall. Then we went down to... They took us down to Abraham and Sarah's grave in the big tomb there. And he was saying, this is where our father Abraham was, buried right here, and Sarah's there with him. I turned to her brother and said, neither of them are there. They're not in there. When Jesus rose from the dead, they rose and were seen walking on the streets of Jerusalem. They don't go back to a tomb. They're risen. And brother and sister, we will rise too. If we are in that secret place where we never die, we never go bad, we will rise with Christ. When he comes, we're going to rise with him. Hallelujah. So they went in the tombs of the prophets. Why? Because he dwells in me and his whole bride. He's in every one of them. Oh, I'm so glad to be a Christian. Who's glad to be redeemed? Amen. I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, we get this new Hammond. Oh, my. Sister June's going to have to really let it rip. That's a beautiful song to sing. If we dance, we dance. But brothers and sisters, we want to be in the Spirit. I know I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory. Maybe we can sing that one later. Sister June. So, I want to bring another point as we draw this to a close. I didn't want to go too long because there's so many aspects about it. I just want to say just one thing because it keeps coming to me, so I better say it. The three rooms in the wilderness, they had the outer court. And in the outer court is where they did the sacrifice of animals. And thousands of people could gather there. But you know what? It was exposed. You know what too? The rain. It was exposed to the sun. It was exposed to the good days and the bad days. And those people who remained in the outer court, one day they're really happy, praising the Lord. Oh, I love him. He's great. He's my heavenly Father. He's so wonderful to me. And then a trial comes along and the rain comes down and they've got their head down. They lose their joy because they're living in the outer court. But when you get into the inner court, even into the second court, but mainly the inner court, there's no windows. There's no contact to the outside world. But the presence of God lit that room. Like the pillar of fire came down. And when you live in there, rain, hail, snow, he's everything to me. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. So we see, as we come to this end here, I just want to say this. It's also a great responsibility that we are his temple. This temple must be kept clean at all times. It was kept immaculate. The way they kept them clean, they had priests of that looked after that temple. And brothers and sisters, when we come to the temple of God, we must be kept clean at all times, holy and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And the glorious thing is, that once he comes into our temple, he stays there. Hallelujah, Brother Peter. He doesn't walk off. He comes in, he stays with you forever and forever and forever. For eternity, he's with you. Really powerful. Really wonderful. He's in you. He doesn't just come visiting, popping in and popping out. You know, some people, they may get out in the other courts. One minute they feel the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah, in the convention. Oh, this is great. Hallelujah. They feel he's just popping past. But when you get into the inner court, he comes in to stay. And he stays there forever and forever. Matthew 28:20. It says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Not only that, but he being in our temple will totally transform this outer temple. One day I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone. Who's coming with me? Get him inside you. Get him inside the temple. The glory of God transformed. Transform the dead stick. Transform the manor. And when he's inside, it'll transform your body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. If it dwells in you, it says, it will quicken. That makes alive like the stick and the manna. It will quicken you, quicken your mortal bodies by having him in you, because he is the resurrection. That's why it's so important to get the Holy Ghost. It's the only way you're going to be in the rapture. Not by coming to church or reading the spoken word books now and again with your Bible. That's good. Encourage you to. But you've got to be quickened from the inside. The power of God to take you in the rapture is actually in you. He will take us up to be with him forever. And when we finally get to glory, what will we see? I wonder what we'll see. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. No temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Brother and sister, this is so wonderful. We just merge into God. God and his people. God and the bride of Christ all merge and we become one with him. We become a part of him. We're transformed and we're made new creatures. And we cannot die. We cannot rot. We cannot go bad. We receive eternal life by being in him. Who loves the Lord? Shall we just stand to our feet, brother and sister? I trust that was a blessing to you. It was to me, because I believe it. And I believe I'm a part of it. Not because we deserve anything. Not at all. But because he loved us from the foundation of the world. And wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. We thank you for the great opportunity this morning to be a part of this temple, Lord. To be the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we want the Holy Ghost to be in us. Lord, that we'll never go bad. Lord, it'll just be the glory of God continually. That will bring forth fruit and blossom. And Lord, we'll look like Christ. We'll act like Christ. We'll think like Christ because he's in us. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you'll move upon every brother and sister here, Lord. Lord, just help us all to understand these things. Lord, we're not just having, a teaching. It's not just a teaching, it's a reality. I pray, Lord, that we'll all become a part of it. And if we haven't, we'll start today and ask God to come and fill us now. Lord, I ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. What number is that? Do you know that one, sister? What's the words? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. There it is. Now you know when you sing the song what it means. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That's a temple. And this is what it says. Pure and holy. That's what he wants. Tried and true. You will be tried. You know another scripture, I don't know what they quoted in the beginning. You will be tried. The Bible says, a sister was saying to Brother Branham just the other day, I was listening. She said, Brother Branham, I just want to go home. I just can't stand this place any longer. He said, why? She said, because I'm having so many trials. He said, that's right. That's perfectly normal. He said, the righteous, the afflictions of the, what is it? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So you'll have many afflictions. You had a trial today, you'll have one tomorrow. And the next day, you'll have trials, but he will deliver you. So here we go. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That's a temple. Pure and holy. Tried and true. Sanctuary. the holiest of holies, the stick did not say, oh, now I must try and get some blossoms. No. I've got to get almonds out of me. No. The manna didn't say to itself, I've got to stay fresh as I can. No. Just being in the presence of God will do it for you. And brother, sister, coming to church will not do it for you. As good as it's too good to come to church, hearing the word's all good. But you need the Spirit of the Word to be living in you. What was that other one we're going to sing, Jean? Oh, been redeemed. Oh, yes. Might play my guitar for this one. You play too. Whoops. What key is it? In G is it? E flat? B flat. Are you A flat all right? I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Forget not all its benefits. We are beneficiaries of Calvary. Brother Tim, you better come and yeah, I'm going to start preaching again. I've been redeemed by love divine.
Dwell in us, Lord, by your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and we're thankful for that, Lord, and that we may know you, Lord, and that we do know you, Lord Jesus. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, a blessing upon the fellowship, Lord, and the food that we're about to partake of, Lord, and bless those that listened in as well, Lord. May they be blessed in their time of listening, Lord. And at this time we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.